Hi, this is Katie Lauer. I'd like to share with you one of my memories from the hills of home. In the 1970s, Main Street in Over the Rhine was home to Aunt Maudie's, an old bar long and skinny, and the musicians like Earl Taylor and Jim McCall, who performed their own brand of the high lonesome bluegrass sound. Because of WLW, WCKY, and King Records, Cincinnati's position in broadcasting and recording was already well established. The late Leo Underhill told me once that no country music artist would dare to come through Cincinnati and not stop and shake and howdy with the local DJs and club owners. Aunt Maudie's was the first place in Cincinnati where I heard bluegrass. I was walking past it on Main Street with a few other people when the door opened and the sounds of the Salty Dog Blues floated out on the night air. Let me be your salty dog or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. It hit me like a bolt of lightning out of the clear blue sky, and I was unable to move. It was the rhythm of it, the harmony singing, the absurdity of the little song. What indeed was a salty dog? Mainly it was the musicality of it, the forward drive of the five-string banjo, and for some people it was the nostalgia too. I had heard this music back home in Alabama where I lived during Flat and Scruggs' reign over the country music charts. The term bluegrass didn't come into use until Bill Monroe named his bluegrass band the Bluegrass Boys. My father had loved the Maple on the Hill, and with the four of us in the family, we had the right number of parts for harmony singing. We did a creditable job on the chorus anyway. Oh, I want to wander back to the cabin on the hill, neath the shadow of the pines. I would like to linger still, just to be with those I love. It would give my heart a thrill, and I want to wander back to the cabin on the hill. My father led with the bass part, and my little sister sang tenor so sweetly that I can hear it still. So all of those elements came into play when I was listening to the Salty Dog Blues outside of Aunt Maudie's, frozen in place. There was nothing I could do except go in. The Katie Lauer Band came out of this rich musical tradition in 1975. We performed the music all over the country, but we were always at home in Over the Rhine. And as the years rolled by, we met new young singers and musicians who found their way to Main Street. We met Karen Berquist and Nikki Burig, bands like Over the Rhine and Plow On Boys. I learned to listen to the new kids like Randy Burkhead and the incomparable guitarist Harold Kennedy. I met fiddler Buddy Griffin about this same time. Buddy was an excellent musician. He played fiddle, banjo, guitar, bass, auto harp, and he was eccentric. The first time someone took me to Buddy's apartment so that I could meet him and hear him, he was seated cross-legged on the floor, rolling stack after stack of pennies and wrapping them in paper rollers. That should have been an omen for me. "You make a lot of money, do you?" I said, and he laughed. "I had to pawn my watch to get to West Virginia last weekend." At some point, I decided I wanted to make a CD of these new young performers, so I begged studio time, performances, money, all the things you have to do to make a record, and we made it at WVXU in a very good studio with a very good engineer. It all got done eventually, and it sounded better than we had any right for it to sound. When we were in town, we worked weekends at Aunt Maudie's to a packed house. We not only played for homesick Southerners, but for socialites like Fred and Irma Lazarus, who came every Saturday night directly after the symphony. Music Hall was only a few blocks away. Fred and Irma often brought their friends from blue-blooded Hyde Park and Indian Hill. I usually held my breath during their stay in the front booth closest to the stage. I knew that fights could break out, patrons could get into hair-pulling contests, or someone could get scared by the doorman, who often told me his own father had had him arrested for running shine round Harlan and Hazard. In prison, his duty had been to shave round spots on the heads of the poor devils bound for the electric chair. The worst thing that ever happened, though, was just as they were leaving, one lively Saturday night, the largest roach I had ever seen crawled across their table, waving its disgusting antennae as if saying good night. Luckily, they were getting on their coats and didn't see the insect. I feared at the time that my social life was over, but later I came to see that Fred and Irma and friends weren't as fragile as I thought them to be. I used to take my best friend Becky there, too, more often than anyone else. She was from West Virginia, and she knew the music and loved it as much as I did. We were old-school best friends, telling and keeping secrets, reading our horoscopes, analyzing one another's love affairs. It was an emotional firestorm when her company moved her to Boston. After she left, I grew closer to Irma, and I'd read to her at her swimming pool on long summer afternoons. I dedicated my Main Street CD to her because she delighted in young talent and unknown artists. And of course, I dedicated it to Fred, too. Fred and Irma Lazarus were last seen in a small cafe in Paris, eating caviar and holding hands. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Katie Lauer.